Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our God is worthy to be praised. Again, we give honor and glory and praise to our resurrected Savior, who is alive and doing well. To thee also, the angel of this house, and to his lovely wife, Dr. D.C. Cofield and Tori Cofield, and to all of the officers, both devoted deacons and trustworthy trustees. To all of you, my sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus, we greet you in the name that is above every name, in the name that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God our Father. Oh, my, 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 my. Y'all make me want to feel like it already. Thank you for, again, Pastor Cofield, Dr. Cofield, for this invitation to be able to come again and to be with you on such an auspicious occasion, the celebration of the rooted and grounded process of 10 weeks, and now you are going to be commissioned to be a discipler. This was introduced to me by Pastor Cofield some maybe a couple years ago. I look back at it now, and we was at his house, and he was explaining to me this new thing he's come across and this new passion. It really is not a new passion. It was just a revitalized passion that he always had. And I can say that for myself also. And so he introduced me to this rooted and grounded process. I said, man, this is too much for me to take back home to myself. I want you to come. And he came and he did the presentation the whole weekend. We had him come in Friday. I think he did Friday night and then all day Saturday. And then he stayed over and preached for us on Sunday. Let me tell y'all something, man. This thing has, did something for me. It took a lot of weight off of me. And just the concept and the methodology of gathering people around you and you pour into them what Rooted and Grounded has for you to do to prepare them, not so that they can just be poured into, but so that they can pour into those the same way that they have been poured into. I mean, this thing caught fire. First group was over 125 people. And we took them through the 10 weeks. So that means out of that 125 people, probably about 50-something of them were gifted in the capacity of being able to teach. And those that were not, they linked up and helped those that were somewhat, if you want to call the lead teachers, that's what we had in our group. We kind of divided it up a little bit. That thing started catching fire. So the next group that came in, there was over 200 people. And man, it just, I think up to date, we have discipled first phase, the first 10 weeks, over 300 and something people. And that's not just in-house, that's also online, out of the state, out of the city, and even out in another country. So when we have our graduations, we do a little bit different, same principle, but we just kind of took it and made it more, germane to Philly, put a little Philly swag on it, And so we kind of put the Philly swag on it, and we do a like a celebration on Sunday morning, but we also do a light light kind of dinner, spaghetti meatballs, that kind of thing, afterwards. And then that's when we give them their certificates and their charge and that kind of thing. And it's so exciting. I sat at one of them and just broke in tears to see what had become always a desire, but not necessarily know how to be more impactful with it until Pastor Cofield, Dr. Cofield, I call him DZ, I call him D, you know, when we're by ourselves. I told him, I said, hey man, you don't know how this blessed my life, man. It really blessed my life, blessed my ministry's life. And I've watched him through the years, and what he's done for me through the years is this, that I've come to realize and recognize, I don't know if y'all do or not, but he's just smart. You know, he's just smart, intellect, all that head on them shoulders, that I think it really does say that he got more brain than some of us, you know what I mean? I mean, my God, I mean, some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I sit down and listen to him, you know, and I'm like, man, do you ever not think? I mean, you always thinking about something, always deep in thought. And I was just, calm down, young man, calm down. Let's back up a little bit. Let's woo-sigh for a minute so that we can. But he's always ready, always engaged, always thinking about certain things and everything, you know. And I know he knows when to calm down. He knows when to, but that's just who he is. That's the man of God that has been called to the church of God. And God is using him to impact the kingdom of God across this country. Amen. 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 So just wanted to share that with y'all, let you know that it's not just happening here. It has, he has impacted me as my little big brother. You know what I mean? He's little, and I've been in it longer. I think I'm a little older than him, but bigger. I'm even looking at this, you know, this podium. Cut me off right at my chest, man. Everything is big around this joker, man. Lord have mercy. And I hope I don't offend nobody. I'm just, you know, I'm just being who I am. I'm 61 years old. So I'm not trying to fake. I ain't trying to, I just don't have the energy to be folk, fake, phony, and you know all that. I is what I is. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm glad that he's not changed me in my personality. He's just bringing the best out of my personality. Doing the same thing for you too. He's not trying to change your personality. He just wants to bring the best out of your personality. So let's kind of get to what one of the things that I came here to do. Have any of you ever watched on television what is called The Most Deadly Catches? Thank you. Boy, 8 o'clock was, I was like, man, maybe I'm not living in the same world you're living in. Am I the only one that likes that kind of stuff? So I was watching one of the episodes of The Most Deadly Catches. And one of these episodes, you know, you got a captain, you got the mates of the boats, and they're going out way deep down in the ocean, and they are catching tuna. And one of the episodes, they started out in the morning, and it was fine. But as they began to go further out and stayed longer, all of a sudden the clouds started gathering and a storm broke out. I mean, it was a major storm. I was amazed that they were even able to film it, because the way that little boat was climbing the heights of the wave and then when the wave would crash, that boat would come down and crash and come out. And so this one boat with the one captain, it slips me now, his name, but he had hired a new person that's called, you know, they call mates on the boat. So he had hired a new mate. And when he hired this new mate, it was the first time that he ever experienced that kind of storm at that level on his first day out. And they showed how he got delirious. He got seasick. He was vomiting. He was delusional. And he was yelling out. And they had to like tie him down or hold him down. And he was screaming and yelling and saying all kind of obscenities. And then the part that they didn't bleep out, he was talking about, he said, "We're gonna die. We're gonna die. Why did I come out here? What are you trying to do? The boat's not gonna make it. We gonna go under. Oh my God, this is over. Oh my God, this boat can't handle all this." And he was talking, and the captain came over to him, and he helped him, helped the other crew hold him down. And he just got more delirious and more anxious and consumed with worry. And he was just like, I don't know. I'm sorry if I did anything. He was apologizing for stuff that he didn't need to apologize for. That's how delirious he was. I mean, he was going on. And the captain came down, and the captain said to him, "Mate, calm down. We're not going to die. This boat can't take it. This boat can't handle it. Oh, my God, we're going to die." He said, "Mate, I need you to know that this boat, when it was in dry dock, it was built for storms like this. You just need to recognize and understand that I've been through a lot of storms, and this boat has taken me through a lot of storms. And the reason why is because it was built for it." I'd like to say to you that are graduating from Rooted and Grounded, and you are now going to be disciple makers. You need to understand and recognize and realize that there are going to be issues in your life that's going to be like a storm that comes in your life. And I want to say this from the beginning, and then we'll pick it up at the end, but please keep in mind that just like the mate had a view of the storm that he saw and that he was experiencing, the captain had another view of the same storm. They were looking through two different lenses because of two different levels of experience. It is in the Gospel of Mark I want to bring your attention to, and I would ask that you would look at it with me. In Mark chapter 6, there's a scenario similar to what I just explained to you from the deadliest catches. My sisters and brothers, in Mark chapter 6, the Lord Jesus had just got finished feeding the multitude with 2 fish and 5 loaves. The Bible says, if you would, let us start at, excuse me, can I get that water, please? I'm sorry, I forgot to bring it up with me. Mark chapter 6, let's start at verse number 45, and you will see these similar words there. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it. Could have opened it for me, man. Just kidding. Making me broke my flow of my sermon, man. No, it's just. In the sixth chapter and starting at verse number 45, you will find these similar words there. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and to go before him to the other side of Bethsaida. While he went, or he sent the multitude away, and he departed to the mountain to pray. Get that? Jesus put his disciples in the boat, made the multitude that was around after he fed them fish and chips, and he made them depart, and he put his disciples in the boat, told them to go over to the other side. He goes up in the mountains on land to pray. But watch this. And the Bible says, now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. Verse 45 says, then he saw them straining at the rowing, for the winds was against them. And about the fourth hour, which is about 3 a.m. in the morning of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And he would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost, and they cried out. We're going to get to that in a minute. For they all saw him and were troubled, one translation said terrified. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Don't be afraid. Verse 51. Then he went up into the boat. They were all greatly amazed when he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were all greatly amazed themselves beyond measure and marveled. For a few minutes, I just want to look at this tag, this theme, this, if you need, you know, theme on this text. I'm going to look at the storm from Jesus's perspective. We look at it, and we've preached it. I've preached this probably in 48 years of preaching and 43 years of pastoring, I probably preached this passage probably about a dozen times throughout the years. But I kind of looked at it differently, and I saw something differently, and I think it was illuminated to me differently. And I'm going to say this to you, as I said to the 8 o'clock crowd, I really almost feel embarrassed about what I see now in this stage and age of my walk and in the pastorate. The reason why I say I feel embarrassed is because I think it should be more profundity. You know, as you grow, as you learn, as you mature. But I think because I'm from Raymond Rosen Projects in North Philadelphia, I'm from the projects and an Emma project, and the Lord's still working on me, that a lot of times profundity don't work with me well. I need some simplicity. And for all of you that don't need simplicity, all of you that need profundity, I'm sorry, I might not do that today. I think I'm going to leave that to Pastor Cofield after I'm gone. But I just want you to know, those that may be like I am, that sometimes, you know, I struggle with being so deep that I try to go there on life, circumstances, situation, truth. But sometimes my level of depth maybe is so shallow that I sound dumb when I try to be deep. So I just want to share with you what I've gotten. I'm telling you, I almost feel ashamed, man. Of what the simplicity of this text, and I think that in its simplicity, it gives profundity. And I'll let you judge on that. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to give you this Sunday school lesson, and I'm gone. I'm going back. I'm going to do a little spiritual drive-by this morning. And then I'm going to go on back on plane to Philadelphia. Thank you so very much for your undivided attention. Here it is. Jesus sends his disciples out on the boat and across to go through Bethsaida. And he sends them there because I guess there's purpose and reason. But he told them, he said, get in the boat, go across to the city, the village, the town. I'm going to be here. I'm going to pray. Got to spend some time with my father. Spending all my time with y'all. Y'all draining me. I'm going to spend some time with my father. Did so. And the Bible says they went across. It was fine until nightfall came. 3 a.m. in the morning, a storm broke out. Well, let's say it might have started by 12 or whatever. The storm broke out. Now remember, this is not a cruise ship. There's no lights at night on the sea. Some of us have taken cruises, and you know at nighttime, if it wasn't for the lights, we wouldn't be able to see what's out there. So take away the cruise ship concept in your mind that you have experienced. This is nothing like that at all. They didn't even have a light that could have been lit, you know, in a lantern or whatever, because when the storm came, that light went out. Pitch black. You see it? Winds blowing. And because the winds are blowing and the waves are dashing, they can't see. Storms have the tendency to skew your perception. In the midst of that, the text says, oh Lord, have mercy. This is kind of embarrassing. Y'all pray for me. The text says that Jesus saw them. Here's my first movement. When you are in a storm, when we are in storms, and they do skew your perspective, they do make you confused about what you are experiencing because you can't see him nowhere around. But here's the point. When you can't see Jesus, Jesus sees you. It's right here in the passage. The Bible said he saw them. Can I say this to you before I go to my next point so I can do this drive-by and take my seat and we can celebrate these people? Listen to me, my sisters and my brothers. That's when we need to know that when I can't see him, I can't see nothing because of the storms that's breaking out in my experience. It skews what I see and how I see what I see. But the blessedness is that when I can't see him, he can see me. He views me. The eyes of the Lord behold my circumstances, my situations, my trial, my trouble, my stress, my strain. I want you to know he sees you.
not only that when I can't see Jesus, he sees me. The verse also says that when Jesus saw them, the Bible says that the wind was against them and they were straining and struggling to get across to the place that the Lord told them to be. I didn't tell you this in the beginning, but I need to throw it in here now. And that is this: you can be in the will of God, doing what the word of God says, but that does not give you a spiritual immunization shot from experiencing storms. Yeah, all of us in this room, we're either in one of three postures. We're either in a storm, we're either on our way out of a storm, or we're either on our way to a storm. But in either case, I just want you to know, when you do experience a storm, realize that it does skew your perspective, your vision, your sight on what you're seeing based on what you're going through. Just knows this: when you can't see Jesus, Jesus sees you. Secondly, recognize and realize this, that the Bible said they were struggling, they were straining to get to where Jesus told them to be. And in the midst of their struggling and straining, the Bible says that they were being resisted from the storm. Jesus saw them. They couldn't get to where he told them to be. Another blessed thing about being in storms, not only does it mess with your sight, but it also messes with your strength. It depletes you. Anybody been in a storm lately where you getting tired of going against the resistance of what it is and how it is you're supposed to be and where it is you're supposed to be, and it just wears on you at a while? I know I only got a few super saints in here, but you and I, those are you that are like me, sometimes this thing gets weary. It wears you out. It saps your strength because it's always seeming something to be against you. And the more you press, the more it pushes against you. The more you seek to do what needs to be done, it resists you. It seems like it drains you. Here's the blessed part: not only when I can't see Jesus, he sees me, but here it is, when I can't get to Jesus, Jesus gets to me. The text says right here in the verse, it says that he came to them.
I'm sorry.
That one right there makes me want to run when ain't nobody chasing me. Listen, my sisters and my brothers, when we can't get to him, he can get to us. And the blessing that's behind that is that what was bothering them, or what bothers us, it does not bother Jesus. So what was bothering them? It's right there in the verse. It says, that's why I said I need simplicity. It says that the winds were against them, and the water and the waves was battering them. So as they was rowing on their oar, they were still not getting any place. They were being stagnated, stymied, and stifled from going where God desired, or Jesus desired, for them to be. And they could not go any further. So the text says 3 a.m. in the morning, which is probably the darkest time of any day, 3 a.m., the fourth watch, 3 a.m. is dark out there then with no light. the darkness, the only light that you had was from the stars and the moon, but because there was a storm, you couldn't see the moon, so you couldn't get no reflection from the moon, neither could you get any light from the stars, so it was pitch black. It is at those moments when we can't see anything, it's at those moments when we're at the within of our experience, it's at that moment when we are crouched around darkness, that's when we can't get to him, but he knows how to get to us. And the thing that bothered the disciples didn't bother him. It was the wind and the waves that bothered him. Here's Jesus walking on was bothering them, and walking through was bothering them. So whatever bothers you and me, know this, it don't bother him. He's able to get through and get us through what it is that we are going through. Woo! I got a drink to that one right there. When we can't see Jesus, he sees us. When we can't get to Jesus, he gets to us. Here's the other thing. Okay, take my seat. What bothers us don't bother him. Here it is. The Bible says that when he walked on the water, which was bothering them and which bothers us, when he walked through the wind, which was bothering them and which bothers us. He walks on the water, walks through the wind. They see him and they say, this can't be. Imagine Peter, son of thunder, different personalities. On that boat, and the New King James puts it very nicely, that they shouted out, cried out, black, pitch black, mid-darked and three midnights black, couldn't see their hands in front of their face, and here come Jesus. Come on, talk back to me, somebody. Here he come, walking on what's troubling them, and walking through what's resisting them, Lord have mercy. And he shows up, and they look at him and say, no. No, dog. No, I'm sorry. No. It ain't no way. Have any of y'all ever seen anybody walking on some water? I'm talking about them. You understand what I'm saying? They never saw nobody walking on no water. And because of what they can't see, and because of where they can't go, I think it skewed their perception of what the possibilities could be. So they thought he was a ghost. Now don't get mad at them. Don't judge them. If you were brought up in that culture, if you were brought up in their experience about being on fishermen, any storms that they've been through, and they've been through more storms than this one, they ain't never seen nobody come and get to them. And here he come walking on what's bothering them, Lord have mercy. So they shout and they yelled out, oh! And Peter being on board, you know he cuss, lies, and denies. You know John, his brother, or the son of thunder, they want to burn up cities and villages because they resisted Christ. So they wanted to throw a curse on somebody. I imagine in that boat, if you let me use my sanctified imagination, there was a whole lot of screaming going on up in there. And I guarantee you it wasn't no praise. It wasn't no glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No, they were afraid and they shouted out. They were afraid. Here it is. They didn't know what to say. And I'm done. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your undivided attention. Appreciate you. You that are also viewing, I know I'm not Dr. Kofi. I know you got disappointed because who's this short black guy? We talk this stuff. Here it is, my sisters and my brothers. They didn't know what to say. Here's the simplistic truth that I got. When you don't know what to say to Jesus, he knows what to say to you. It's right there in the text. The Bible said he's talked to them. They couldn't say a mumbling word. They just was screaming and shouting. And the Lord said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let me tell you what storms will do to you, to me, to us, my sisters and my brothers. Not only does it affect our sight on the way we see things, so when we can't see Jesus, when he sees us, it not only affects our sight, but it also affects our strength. Because of the resistance of the trial, of the wind, of the waves, it zaps our strength. And when we can't get to him, he knows how to get to you and me. And not only does it affect our sight and our strength, but storms also affects, Lord have mercy, our speech. Because they didn't know what to say. Is there anybody here that has ever been in such a storm that you don't even know how to articulate what it is that you need and what it is that you're going through? It has zapped your senses. It has zapped your sight. It has zapped your strength, that sometimes you just throw up your hands in despair and you don't even know how to talk to God. You don't know what to say to God. You don't know, because it's so overwhelming. It's so painful. It's so tragic. It's causing trauma in your life. You are psychologically twisted, emotionally zapped out. Y'all not talking back to me. Volitionally, you can't even think through what it is that's happening to you. And it has happened so quick, so fast, but yet so strong, and it seems to be enduring. It's lasting longer than you thought that it would ever last. And you can't open your mouth. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to ask for. But it's at those moments that the Lord Jesus himself, he comes and he knows what to say to you and me. Stop being afraid. Don't be scared. I am here. I'm with you. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He knows what to say to you and me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. He knows what to say to you and me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and my foes came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should camp against me, I will not fret. For the Lord sticks out his big foot and make them stumble and fall. He knows what to say to me when I don't know what to say to him. Paul said, says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that sometimes life starts lifing on us. Sometimes it gets so heavy. Sometimes it gets such a strain that we don't know what we ought to ask for. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He begins to pray the will of God in our situation. And the Spirit of God tells it to the Son of God. And the Son of God tells it to Father God. And Father God gives it back to the Son of God. And the Son of God gives it back to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gives it back to you and me. I'm so glad that when I can't see him, he sees me. I'm so glad that when I can't get to him, he'll get to me. I'm so glad that when I don't know what to say to him, he knows what to say to me. So I say to you, every born again, blood bought, baptized believer, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will. I said God will. God will. I said God will. God will take care of you beneath his wings. You just abide. God will. I said God will. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed. I've seen the lightning flashing. I heard thunder roar. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, keep fighting, Reed. Fight on. He promised, anybody know he promised? He promised never to leave me, never to leave us alone. Say yes, 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 oh yes.
Whoever you are, graduates, you will, promise you. If I was a gambling man, I would say, promise you on my faith back. You're going to experience storms. But you can't look at it from your perspective. You got to look at it from his perspective. And his perspective says, you can't see me, but I see you. You can't get to me, but I know how to get to you. You don't know what to say to me, but I know what to say to you. Because what bothers you don't bother him. I say to you, you made for it. Just go on and get through it. God bless you.